Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship you and praise you and thank you for this beautiful day. As the word goes out today, I ask you to reveal it to us. Lord, give us revelation and wisdom and understanding of who our enemy is and how that beast inflicts us and dwells within us and how he torments us and the problems he gives us so that we as your sons and daughters can walk clean and pure with no darkness in our body, our soul, and we may walk clean and pure before you because, Lord, we want to walk holy in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I praise you and thank you as the word goes out today in the name of Jesus. Now then, I'm going to continue on yesterday. I didn't get quite through with my teaching on Peter when I ran out of time, but I'm going to tell you that according to Matthew 26 and Luke 22, which is what we talked about yesterday, Peter, under the influence of Satan and his evil spirits or his demons, did several things that he would never have done if he had been in full control of his spiritual and mental abilities. Now, number one, and that night, as he was asked to come out and watch and pray, Peter fell into a deep sleep together with John and James, members of Christ's inner circle. Now, that's recorded for us in Matthew 26. And Luke 22. Now the Lord reproached him for not being able to watch in prayer for one meager little old hour. It was on this occasion, when he quoted those memorable words, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation," in Matthew 26:41. Now, watch and pray. That's scripture. Lots of people say, "Well, I'm not going to close my eyes because Christ told me to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation." And it is scriptural to watch and pray. And another thing that Peter did, not only did the spirit of slumber come upon him from a demonic spirit and put him to sleep, not only him, but John and James with him, but later on that night, whenever the Pharisees and Sadducees and everybody come to get him, when they came up to actually get Jesus, Peter used the sword, supposedly, to defend his master. But one lesson that Peter never learned is that in spiritual warfare, the carnal weapons are totally useless. Because in 2 Corinthians 10, starting verse 4, he says, "Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So when you take a carnal weapon, a sword, a gun, a bomb, or whatever, all you can do is kill a human being. You cannot do damage to the spiritual realm. Now, Peter didn't know this at the time. But then later on here, he followed Jesus afar off, not willing to identify himself fully with him, because in the process, he befriended the servants of the high priest who was subjecting Christ to trial. And then he denied his Lord three consecutive times, even to cursing and swearing that he never knew him, not at all. Now, isn't that amazing what the enemy has done in the life of Peter? Now, I'm going to tell you today that devil will do the same things to you, and he will control you if you will give him any place whatsoever. That same devil, same Satan, and his same demons are alive and well on this earth today, and you have to really be on your toes, or they will speak right out of your mouth also. Now, as we see here, that Peter was God's chosen instrument to serve as leader of the church in its first stage, described at length in the book of Acts, chapters 1 through 12. Now, as such, he played an important role in introducing the gospel in its fullness to the Jews. Now, the Samaritans and the Gentiles also. Now, nevertheless, Peter was susceptible to demons, allowing himself to be used on more than one occasion by Satan in his attempt to hinder or delay God's plan. So I'm going to tell you, if Peter could be used by the devil and be susceptible to demons to speak out of his mouth and control him, I'm going to tell you, you can also be susceptible to demons to speak out of your mouth. Anytime things that come out of your mouth that does not glorify God, that is cursing or swearing or anger or rage or any of those wicked things, you have allowed a demonic spirit to be in control in your physical body. And they will come in and attack you. So whatever you do from these two examples that we discussed and read the scriptures yesterday and today to show you how they work and what they can do, remember, if they did it to Peter, they can do it to you. Now let's take another example here. Now right here in Luke 9:51-56, according to this Bible story, the time when Jesus should be received up was drawing near. His crucifixion, his resurrection and ascension was going to take place very shortly. Now, knowing this, the Lord Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, for it was impossible that a prophet should die or perish outside of Jerusalem. Now, the trip from beyond the Jordan River was slow and wearisome, and wherever he went, multitudes surrounded him and oppressed him because they longed to see some of his miracles or to hear some of his teachings. The people that followed him, out of necessity or curiosity, would make it impossible for him to advance as fast as he wanted to. Now, on his way through a province called Samaria, he discovered that as night came, he was still in a place that was virtually uninhabited. Now, not wanting or cherishing the idea of sleeping in the outdoors, he sent several of his disciples ahead to a nearby city that was populated entirely by Samaritans to prepare lodging for himself and his group of men. Now, the Samaritans, influenced doubtlessly by their deep antagonism toward the Jews due to the ill treatment that had endured at their hands for several centuries, refused to receive him, especially knowing that his plan was to go up to Jerusalem to take part in the religious feast close at hand. Now, the messengers returned absolutely to the place where Jesus was waiting for them with the bad news. When the rest of the disciples found out how they had been snubbed, they were outraged. Now, James and John, the famous sons of thunder, requested permission to cause fire to fall from heaven to consume all those renegade Samaritans. Doesn't that sound just like us? Now, Jesus rebuked them soundly, saying, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of," insinuating that these disciples ignored what spirit was actually manifesting in and through them at that moment. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are several versions of the Bible. One of them I know is the NIV, and there's two or three other translations that I read. I can't really think of right now, but I know the NIV is one of them that eliminate this phrase entirely, perhaps because, among other reasons, some of their translators didn't believe that a follower of Christ could possibly have a demon. So they just changed it. That's why you have to be so careful when you read the scriptures. Now, it was obvious that James and John were being animated by another spirit and not by the Spirit of God. Now, the words they spoke evidence attitudes that are contrary to the Spirit of Christ. Their teacher and master, James and John, manifested a racist spirit of intolerance, prejudice, and even hatred toward the Samaritans. Now, apparently, it wouldn't matter to them if hundreds of innocent victims died, as long as they could take revenge for the offense received. Now, Jesus Christ had to remind them that he had come not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In the course of time, John experienced a deep transformation, becoming the apostle of love. Now, the Holy Spirit renewed his mind and cleansed his heart of these negative feelings and attitudes that he had developed due to family, racial, and environmental influences. Now, the Bible passage compels us to admit the possibility that even Christ's closest associates could be influenced or motivated by a spirit foreign to the Spirit of God. It is necessary for us also to confess that at times we have felt anger, resentment, hatred, a sense of outrage, when we have been abused, belittled, or rejected. On more than one occasion, we too have felt constrained to get even or to take revenge. Now, such an attitude reveals that a spirit not of God is in control of some area of your life, seriously affecting our relationship with others, believers and non-believers, and hurting our testimony before the world. Now, I'm going to tell you that it is very possible from these experiences that we've talked about, and there are still others that we're going to talk about, but it's very clear from the Word of God that you can be controlled by a demon. So whatever you do, be very careful and don't yield to those evil spirits, because they will come in so easily and so slyly, and they will take control of your lips, of your mind, and they will speak out of your being. So if these men could be controlled by demons, I'm going to tell you, you can be controlled by a demon. So be very careful what you do and what you yield to. Now I'm going to try to give you one more example here from the Word of God, and it's in John 6. And I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ was facing one of the first crises in his ministry here, and many disciples, upon hearing his teaching about the cost and commitment of following him, they were offended and decided to turn back. Now Christ then asked the 12 if they also wanted to desert him, and of course with deep convictions, Peter stepped forward to say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life." Now it was at that moment that Jesus insinuated that Satan had infiltrated the apostle band, and his words, "and one of you is a devil," could be better translated, "and one of you is Satan himself." Why was Satan able to seduce and later possess Judas so easily? Well, I'm going to tell you why. It was because he was a thief. Now, because Judas stole from the money bag regularly, he had a problem here of being dishonest in handling the funds of the apostolic band. Now, knowing who Judas was, Jesus nonetheless chose him among a multitude of his disciples to be one of his 12. This was necessary that the scripture be fulfilled. According to Mark 6, Jesus had endued him as well as the rest of his apostles with authority to heal diseases and expel demons, and had sent them out to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom of God. Apparently, Judas had done so with compelling results. When Christ's earthly ministry was coming to an end, the scripture said that Satan sowed in Judas' heart the idea of betraying Christ. So just think, here is another one of his disciples, and the reason that Jesus had told him that the devil would be able to possess him and come into him, the reason that this happened so easily, because he was yielding to the devil, and he was a thief, and as he was a thief and stealing, he had opened the door to the demonic world, and Satan had absolutely no problem of entering him. We'll continue tomorrow in Jesus' name.